This is Ozarks at Large. A new fellowship from the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation will help guide faith leaders champion economic justice and anti-poverty work. The MICA Fellows program will last 9 months and is intended to be a statewide initiative attracting men and women, brown, black, and white people, residents of rural, suburban, and urban Arkansas. Through an intense training program, fellows will discuss topics like how to write a sermon about poverty in Arkansas, what to do if you want your community to do more than food pantries. Yesterday, we talked with Reverend Chantel Hinton Hill, Equity Officer at Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation in Little Rock via Zoom. She says the foundation has been engaged in efforts to strengthen faith leaders' connection to work alleviating poverty in Arkansas.
We have really been working for quite some time. The Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation has been working to see what kind of energy there is around faith leaders in Arkansas and their intersections with doing justice work in the state. And so for several years, we've been convening, pulling people together to meet and talk about subjects such as race, the economy, people's communities, how does the church intersect with that? And for several years, it was just a conversation. It was just a space for clergy people of all different backgrounds, not just of the Christian faith, to come together and talk and be together. But here recently, we started to see that as we entered into the pandemic, essentially, that there were a lot of ways that Arkansas just wasn't ready to handle a pandemic. Our economy wasn't ready. You know, our public health system wasn't ready. A lot of different things that we weren't ready to handle. And so we started thinking, well, who would have the interest and, you know, commonality in wanting to speak to being prepared for this type of public crisis in the future? And we could think of no better people than people of faith. We know that people of faith were deeply impacted by the pandemic. Most of our churches locally really filled in the gaps for people who were in need, who had lost their jobs, who fell on hard times. And so we said, you know what? Why don't we figure out a way to invest in leaders across the state to become even more vocal pieces of us helping Arkansas to become more prepared to support people who are experiencing hard times financially in the future.
In this 9-month fellowship, will you be discussing outreach and how to better spread the message that these things are often connected?
Yes, we will be doing various trainings so that there can be more outreach. One of the things that is typically misknown or misunderstood about poverty in Arkansas is that people are choosing not to work, you know, or they somehow landed in this position because of personal choice. And really what we want to have these faith leaders be able to help spread the message on is the fact that a lot of times people who are experiencing hard times financially have not chosen anything, and that actually they're doing a lot of things right. They're working several jobs, 2 and 3 jobs normally, but they still can't make ends meet. And so that really points to a larger issue of not personal choice, but what is going on with our jobs? What's going on with our economy? What's going on in our communities that people are working this hard and still are experiencing poverty at this alarming rate? In the study that the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation recently commissioned, it's called ALICE, which stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, and Employed. We've seen that basically 50% of Arkansans before the pandemic were struggling to make ends meet. They were known as ALICE. That's too many households for my comfort. That cannot be that half of our state is just making wrong decisions, or half of our population just continue to fall on hard times because it's their fault. We really are hopeful that this program will give pastors and people of faith the language to begin spreading the message that there's more that we can do for our economy and the policies that go into our economy, and that these people are hardworking people. They are people who deserve dignity and respect, and that there's more that we can do to support them.
What can a minister or rabbi or a faith leader do to help understand, not about food banks, but about greater long-term policies that make a difference?
Absolutely. Such a great question, Kyle. So one of the things, if you'll notice, we just recently came out of a legislative session in 2021, and we have those every couple of years. And this year was different, right? It was the pandemic. It was a lot of virtual settings. And so they didn't allow a lot of public hearings all the time or public testimony. But there were several instances where people of faith, pastors, clergy, came together to support or talk about bills or legislation as it, you know, intersected with something that they were passionate about. I think at WRF thinks as well that pastors can absolutely be a part of a conversation, you know, even if it's not at the legislative level, with their church members that says, hey, look, charity is nice. You know, the Bible says that the poor will always be with you. Jesus is very, very clear about the ways that we should treat the stranger, the people who are hungry, the people who are homeless. But there are also things in the Bible that tell us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. And so this fellowship is named for that particular scripture, Micah 6:8, because we want pastors to feel equipped to talk not just about the charity lens, which is kind of a short-term fix, it's really a Band-Aid, but how do we eradicate these systems of poverty? What are the long-term things that we can do? Whether it's, you know, us changing policies, whether it's us supporting local small businesses to be able to pay a living wage, there are several things that we can do. And we think that pastors have a unique role in voicing that in their communities.
I know there was the phenomenon when vaccines for COVID-19 were first being rolled out that some people were hesitant until perhaps their personal doctor suggested that. Is there a potential similar phenomenon here that, oh, when my faith leader, who I see once, twice, three, four times a week, is talking about this in meaningful ways, it resonates more?
Absolutely. And of course, you know, we understand the very various needs for the separation of church and state. But if you have a personal relationship with your rabbi, with your pastor, with your minister, your priest, what have you, you have a level of trust with them. And you have a level of trust that they've done the necessary reading, research, study, and prayer to be able to offer good advice. So while they may not tell you, oh, you know, this is a policy that you should absolutely vote for, which, you know, it's probably good that they don't say those types of things, they can help you think more theologically about what it is your faith should compel you to do. You know, if our faith is one that says that follows Jesus and subscribes to many of his teachings, then we should want to do more than just charity. We should not want to see people suffering in poverty for cycles of generations to come. We should want to do our parts to learn what we can do to make help these people to get out of poverty. So I absolutely think in the same way that your doctor may or may not recommend for you to have the vaccine, our pastors and our faith leaders can absolutely be supportive in you making informed decisions about how to be engaged in anti-poverty work in Arkansas.
You mentioned the scriptural inspiration for the name of the fellowship, the Micah Fellowship. You don't have to go back that far to find the historical relationship between faith and helping people. I mean, it should go hand in hand.
It should go hand in hand. There are so many people here in our nation and across the globe who have really done a great work because of their faith to really push us towards being in right relationship with one another as humans, but also being in right relationship with our Creator. I can think of people like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, for instance, who was doing a lot around not just race, but also around class and economy. More current right now, you can think of Reverend Dr. William Barber, who is the leader of the Moral Mondays and the Poor People's Campaign nationally. There are several different people, but you know, in our past, we can think of Fannie Lou Hamer and other people who came from the church, who spoke to such pressing needs of their day. And you know, to be quite honest, we've all seen it in our churches. We've seen the deacons or you know, the older women coming together to make sure that someone in need did not have to go without. And this is just an outgrowth of that.
Your first two degrees are in electrical engineering, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Can you make a comparison between the schematics? I'm not an electrical engineer. I hope I'm using that word correctly. The schematics of putting something together in engineering and trying to create a fellowship that will make things better for people?
Actually, yes, I probably can make that comparison. Thank you so much for asking me this. A lot of people don't, I don't talk a lot about my career in engineering because a lot of times it doesn't intersect very clearly. But if I could give a comparison, I think I would say this. In my time as an engineer, I worked as a process control engineer in paper plants. My first job was at Evergreen Packaging, which used to be International Paper in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And what I was responsible for as a process control engineer was creating programs that made it easier for the machines to work and the operators to be able to control the machines, basically. Once you set a machine to work in automatic, it should be able to do what you need it to do, right? And so as I've been thinking about this program, this Micah Fellowship program and how it kind of intersects with the design process of what it would be when I was an electrical engineer, we want to create systems and create conversations and create relationships that make things easier for the most vulnerable people in our state, essentially. And so this program is a part of hopefully a larger system of not just faith leaders, but community leaders, city leaders, politicians, and just everyday Arkansans who want to make Arkansas the place to live. Right now, it's no joke. Everyone knows, it's not a secret. Arkansas is struggling to attract new folks to come and want to stay here, right? We don't boast the best jobs. We don't have like the greatest tourist place, but there's something about the hospitality that you get here. There's something about, you know, you never meet a stranger here. We want that to translate into the way that our economy works. We want our economy to be the most hospitable for everyone. And so this Micah Fellows program, hopefully will be a part of a larger system that makes Arkansas a more attractive place to be and to live.
Reverend Chantel Hinton Hill is an equity officer with the Winthrop Rockefeller Foundation. She spoke with us yesterday by Zoom. Applications to participate in the Micah Fellows program are being accepted now through July 1st. Much more information can be found at MicahFellowsProgram.org. Fellows accepted for the 9-month fellowship that begins in September will be notified of their acceptance by the end of July. And later on today's show, the land the University of Arkansas sits upon is the subject of this week's Hill Talk from Charlie Allison. From Osage to Old Main, the legacy of land takes the spotlight in this week's salute to 150 years of the University of Arkansas. That's in about 10 minutes on Ozarks at Large.